Okay, so we're in this kind of strange place, aren't we? You look at the stock market, indices are, well, soaring, valuations look historically high, and yet you have Fed Chair Powell coming out recently with this pretty cautious language, saying equities appear fairly highly valued.
Yeah, it's quite measured, isn't it?
It is. So how do we square that? Is this just a gentle warning, or is something bigger shifting in how the Fed views markets?
I think that's exactly the pension we need to get into. What we want to do is take those specific words, fairly highly valued, and really give them some context.
Okay.
Compare it to past Fed comments, sure, but crucially, look at the really big constraints Powell's facing right now. There are at least three major structural things making his job incredibly difficult.
And these constraints, they limit the Fed's ability to backstop the market.
Precisely. And that's why this matters so much if you're an investor or really anyone following the economy. That idea of the Fed put, the Fed always stepping
The
in.
safety net.
Exactly, that safety net. Let's just say it's much less of a sure thing today than it's been for, well, decades.
Okay, let's start there with the history. Powell says fairly highly valued. Alan Greenspan, back in 96, famously used the phrase irrational exuberance. How do those two comments stack up?
Well, the language itself is a big clue. Greenspan's irrational exuberance, even though he hedged it a bit, sounds quite dramatic.
Yeah, almost like a judgment.
Right, a judgment on investor psychology may be running a bit wild during that first tech boom. It was blunt.
Whereas Powell's fairly highly valued sounds drier, almost technical.
Exactly. Much more measured. It signal, we see the high valuations, but without that kind of alarming tone that could spook markets unnecessarily.
And the economic backdrop was totally different too, right?
Oh, completely. Greenspan said that in December 96. Inflation was pretty much under control then. He had room to maneuver. Powell, he's dealing with the aftermath of the pandemic, recent inflation spikes.
So he's juggling more balls, high asset prices, and potential consumer price inflation.
It's a much harder balancing act. He can't just focus on asset froth without worrying about reigniting inflation.
And didn't Greenspan's warning kind of fizzle out at the time?
Famously, the market kept roaring for another 3 years after he said that.
So the lesson there is.
It's incredibly hard for a Fed chair to deliberately prick a bubble or even talk it down without risking their credibility or maybe even causing the downturn they want to avoid.
Ah, so Powell's careful wording reflects that lesson learned. Signal awareness, but don't trigger a panic.
I think that's a fair reading. He's acknowledging the valuation levels, but very cautiously.
Okay, that sets the historical scene. Now, let's tackle that basic question. Why does the Fed even care so much about the stock market? Their job is price stability and employment, right?
Right, that's the dual mandate. But the reality is the U.S. economy has become incredibly asset-driven, especially equities.
Meaning stock prices aren't just reflecting the economy, they're driving it.
To a significant extent, yes, through the wealth effect. When people's 401ks and brokerage accounts look good, they feel wealthier.
And they spend more.
Exactly. That boosts consumption, supports jobs, helps growth. It's become an active channel.
But the flip side is dangerous. A big market drop hits that wealth effect hard.
Very hard. And it's surprisingly concentrated. You look at who owns stocks, it's heavily skewed towards higher earners.
Okay.
Research suggests the top 10% of earners own the vast majority of equities. And that same group accounts for roughly half of all consumer spending in the US.
Wow, half. So if their portfolios take a sudden hit.
Their confidence drops, their perceived wealth shrinks, and they pull back on spending pretty quickly, especially big ticket items, discretionary stuff.
And that slowdown in spending directly hits GDP growth.
And leads to job losses, which lands squarely back on the Fed's employment mandate. You see the connection.
Yeah, it's a direct link. So protecting asset prices, to some extent, becomes about protecting jobs.
It's part of the calculus now. And it's not just individuals. Think about who else is heavily invested.
Right, like pension funds,
Yeah.
retirement accounts.
Huge exposure there. Plus, foreign investors, their confidence matters. And importantly, leveraged players' hedge funds, others borrowing against assets.
So a sharp drop could trigger forced selling.
Fire sales.
That's the amplification risk. A market drop forces leveraged holders to sell, pushing prices down further, potentially threatening retirement security for millions. It becomes a systemic concern.
So the Fed is juggling consumer prices, employment, and asset market stability because they're all intertwined.
It's a complex web.
Okay, so beyond the mandate and market mechanics, what are the specific, maybe non-monetary challenges Powell is facing right now that make policy so tricky? things interest rates can't easily fix.
Well, there are several big structural headwinds. Let's talk about three key ones. First, AI, artificial intelligence.
AI displacing jobs.
Powell himself has acknowledged this recently. He said AI is, quote, already upending the workforce to some extent, maybe hitting entry-level hiring first as companies automate tasks.
How does that complicate things for the Fed compared to, say, a normal recession causing job losses? It's fundamentally different. Monetary policy, like cutting rates, is mainly designed to boost demand. If people aren't buying things, you make borrowing cheaper to encourage spending and hiring.
Okay.
But if jobs are disappearing because technology is making them obsolete, that's a structural shift. Cutting rates might just pump liquidity into the system, risking inflation elsewhere, without actually solving the mismatch between skills and available jobs.
So the usual medicine doesn't work as well for that kind of unemployment. Puts the Fed in a really awkward position.
A very tight spot. Okay, second structural headwind, the value of the dollar.
A weak dollar meaning higher import prices.
Exactly. If the dollar weakens against other currencies, everything we import, electronics, clothes, parts for manufacturing gets more expensive. That feeds directly into consumer prices here.
And Fed policy affects the dollar's value.
Right. If the Fed eases policy too much, say, to support jobs, it could weaken the dollar as capital seeks higher returns elsewhere.
So trying to help the job market could accidentally import more inflation, another bind.
Precisely. They're constrained by global capital flows in a way. And the third factor, tariffs.
Ah, trade policy bleeding into monetary policy.
Yes. Tariffs essentially act like a tax. They raise costs for businesses and consumers, and they tend to slow down economic growth by gumming up supply chains.
And Powell acknowledged this link, too.
He did. He noted recently that some of the increases we saw in goods prices were partly due to higher import tariffs.
So tariffs push inflation up and growth down. The opposite of what you want.
It's the classic stagflation risk, higher inflation combined with slower growth. If the Fed cuts rates to boost growth, it could make the inflation part worse.
Another awkward situation, as he put it. They can't easily offset the impact of trade policy with interest rates.
Exactly. Monetary policy isn't really built to fix supply-side shocks like tariffs.
Okay, so you've got the asset market risks, the AI job displacement, the weak dollar inflation risk, and tariff impacts. It makes the Greenspan era look almost simple by comparison.
It was certainly less complex in terms of these specific structural issues, yes.
So let's bring this back to that core investor belief, the Fed put, this idea that the Fed will always rescue the market. Where did it come from historically?
Well, the Fed put isn't an official policy, obviously. Right. It's more market shorthand for the belief that the Fed provides a sort of insurance policy against major market crashes, like an out-of-the-money put option.
And this belief was built on actual Fed actions.
Absolutely. Decades of them. Think back to the 1987 crash. The Fed stepped in immediately with liquidity. The 2008 financial crisis, massive interventions.
And the COVID crash in 2020 was maybe the most traumatic example.
Unprecedented scale, really. They acted incredibly fast and forcefully to stop the free fall and stabilize credit markets. So there's a strong historical basis for believing the Fed acts as the buyer or liquidity provider of last resort in a crisis.
But you're saying now things have changed. That put isn't as reliable.
It's much less assured. The key difference is inflation. Even though it's come down, it's still a primary concern for the Fed. Their priorities seem reordered. Price stability comes first, market stability second.
So Powell's cautious language is part of signaling that.
I think so. He's essentially warning the market, don't expect us to rush in at the first sign of trouble. They seem willing to tolerate more volatility, maybe deeper drawdowns, than in the past.
So the strike price on that Fed put is much lower now. A 5% or 10% drop doesn't automatically trigger the alarm bells.
That seems to be the message. Market watchers often say the put is out of the money for routine corrections. Intervention seems reserved for when financial stability itself is genuinely at risk.
Like a potential banking system crisis or a market's completely seizing up.
Right. Not just a stock market correction, even a painful one. Remember 2022, they hiked rates aggressively while the stock market was falling? Because inflation was the overriding priority. That was the inverse of the put, in a way.
This really connects to Powell saying there is no risk-free path. That sounds like a frank admission of these trade-offs.
It absolutely is. It's the Fed acknowledging, look, we can't fix everything simultaneously without risking something else.
Tighten too much, risk recession. Ease too soon, risk inflation, or more asset bubbles.
Exactly. So that phrase, no risk-free path, means they accept that some pain might be necessary, maybe including market corrections, to get inflation properly under control. It's telling markets you need to price risk appropriately because the automatic rescue isn't guaranteed anymore.
It forces investors to rethink their assumptions about Fed support.
It should. It demands a different approach to risk management, anticipating potentially higher volatility because that intervention threshold is higher.
Okay, let's try to synthesize this. Powell's comment about markets being fairly highly valued. It's not just a casual observation. It's loaded communication, isn't it?
I think it has to be seen that way. It's signaling that the Fed is operating in this incredibly difficult environment, this sort of no-win scenario.
Where inflation concerns and these new structural problems, AI, tariffs, the dollar, severely limit their old playbook of swooping in to save markets.
Right. Comparing it back to Greenspan's irrational exuberance is useful because it highlights market psychology. But Powell's actual challenge is far more complex today because he has inflation plus these structural issues to deal with, which Greenspan didn't face in the same way.
The whole economic landscape has shifted underneath the Fed.
Entirely new forces are at play.
So let's leave our listeners with a final thought. The Fed is clearly signaling that their backstop, that famous put, is set much higher now. Investors can't count on it like they used to.
That seems to be the unavoidable conclusion from their actions and their words.
So the crucial question for you, for everyone trying to navigate this, becomes, given the Fed's laser focus on price stability above all else, just how far would markets actually have to fall today? What percentage drop in the S&P 500 or what level of market dysfunction would genuinely force the Fed's hand and trigger that emergency intervention again? That threshold, that's the multi-trillion dollar question investors have to grapple with now. Thank you for helping us really deep dive into this incredibly complex chain of compute, cache, and chips today.
My pleasure. It's a fascinating and important area to watch.
And thank you, our listener, for joining us for this deep dive. We hope you found it insightful. We'll talk to you next time.